Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Evolution.
The Football Show. It's a philosophy on CliffCentral.com.
It's Wednesday and it's the football show. Is it the football show?
Yes.
Hi, Duncan. How are you? So, yeah, we've got a couple of guests in the studio today, and it's a fire episode on Freedom Day. Did I just shout? Was that too loud?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
The hallelujahs.
Yeah, so we've got some special guests in the studio today. So we are possibly the only show in South Africa, in fact, in the world, that has people who listen as guests.
Factual
statements that we're giving out here. So without further ado, is that how you say it? It's Wednesday and it's the football show, a show about football, the Champions League, Leicester City, Jacques Callis, Transformation, Beyonce, Lemonade, Lil Kim, putting some respect on it, Freedom Day, and Asanda Chuma, and Basrasich Kosi, and Masubanda, who shall join us later on in live on the telephone.
I think your intro is incomplete, eh?
Who else is here?
It's the football show. And Serena Williams twerking.
Serena Williams twerk.
Did she twerk on Beyonce's
video? She twerked on Beyonce's video.
Jesu.
Yes, you missed it. You missed it.
Yeah, say hi, guys. Just say hi.
The whole world is listening.
No pressure. Alright. We were expecting this Nigerian here, but he decided not to come.
Nigerian Ninja Turtle.
So, Nigerian Ninja Turtle.
Don Otelo.
So, but we're still going to do his intro because we are good people here on the football show. Theo Mojo, would you like to do that?
Ooh, here we go.
Yeah.
He is a Nigerian man.
Yes.
An exemplary immigrant.
Yes.
The noble Nigerian, the harbinger of good grace, the custodian of authentic African twang.
Yes.
A man who is known on football manager message boards from Papua New Guinea to Antarctica.
Yes.
The only man to wear a durag to his own wedding. Neon colored as well. For Nigeria. Durag Jesus, unfortunately.
The God, Durag Jesus, is not in the building today. He's not in the building.
He's procuring a lot of stock of durags.
For the people.
Yeah.
Now, they call this man the primordial connoisseur of black wealth. The navel of black excellence. The man whose family invented black etiquette and made it a standard for all of us to aspire to. The man with a selection of 372 pastel-colored cardigans. Do you even have two? The God, Theo Mojo.
Theo.
You know what? That is quite an introduction. Thank you very much. On this Freedom Day, I'd like to redistribute all my wealth, all 1,200 rand of it.
Yeah, redistribute this wealth.
Yeah,
redistribute this wealth. Yes.
Can I do you?
Do me.
Comrade Christian.
Yes. Please.
The philanthropic stripper whisperer, a modern day male Joan of Arc, constantly fighting for the rights of strippers across the globe. The erstwhile Arsene Wenger apologist, a real meninist, the God, Comrade Quentin.
Thank you. Yes.
A meninist.
Yes. It's a bold claim in this day and age.
Aren't meninists essentially like neo-Nazis for men?
No. I'm just out here standing up for the rights of downtrodden men everywhere across the
patriarchy
globe.
Patriarchy is under attack.
Patriarchy is under attack, and we need to do something about it.
Okay, interesting.
I thought you weren't mentioning Arsene Wenger anymore.
No. It's a wrap. Now, she is supposed to join us later. I wonder if she'll make it. But anyway, this was her intro, apparently. On Sunday night, Minister Mbalula heard her sultry voice, and on Monday morning, he woke up singing Transformation. Some say she coined the term privileged philanthropic coital relations. Her bounteous thighs are the reason why we are now on the verge of real transformation in South Africa. The supreme goddess, Miss Steal Your Man If He Looks At Me Sideways. I am Coco Mash, Nicolette Mashile, who is on the way, or not, but fire mixtape.
Should I do
Mystic? Yes.
The Don Corleone of real Cosa Nostra.
Yes.
The godfather of successful and under 30 black excellence BEE boardrooms in Zanzi.
Yes.
Factual.
The only man with a two Harley Davidsons, and a modest BMW 5 Series. The god of what I say is what I mean, because I am successful and I mean it.
Yes.
The god at Lee.
Yes.
Under slash.
Yes.
Lycan.
Yes.
Can you get that right? It's Lycan.
Sorry, Lycan. Sorry, Lycan. Yes, Lie yes, underscore yes. slash, aka Asanda Chuma.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
To our show as a guest, as an avid listener.
Oh, yeah.
And an Arsenal fan.
Is this the first time we've had a listener on the show?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Well, welcome.
Welcome.
Am I the first one?
Yes, you are. This is the momentous occasion.
Thank you.
The most erudite sports personality to emerge from north of the Limpopo since Charles Mabika and Evans Mambara. A tall mountain of dark chocolate and solid pictorials. The man whose deep voice is responsible for the destruction of many a hymen across Mzansi's many colleges. Particularly in the Eastern Cape. The god, Basarashe Chikosi. What up?
Hey, Basarashe. Welcome to the football show, man.
Welcome.
Glad to be here.
Oh, no, thank you for having us. Forgive me. I can't see Duncan. Where is this man? Anyway, let us start off. So fans can tweet us using the hashtag TheFootballShow, or you can tweet us at FootballShowCC. Or you can call us on 0861-555-189. Alternatively, you can like the Facebook page, which is Football with a PH, obviously. And as we usually say, as is now tradition, we also have
a Periscope.
Yes.
You can follow us on the Periscope and you can do whatever you like, where we do absolutely nothing, but it's ironic.
Yeah,
so, ground rules. Theo Mojo.
It is Freedom Day in South Africa today. Freedom
What's
Day.
With the Benjamin voice,
it is,
Theo?
It is Freedom Day, man.
It is Freedom Day. It's
I'm
freedom
trying
day.
To...
I think it's a course for celebration.
It is.
Mm,
but
it is a course for celebration.
We have such a long, arduous, and very tough journey ahead to go. But we also have so much to be thankful for.
Yeah.
A few Zimbabweans, three of us in the studio.
Yes.
A Nigerian.
Yes.
Who is not here.
Yes.
And South Africans are breaking bread in a studio owned by a white man.
Yes.
Talking about European football on the
internet. On the internet. Guys, that's freedom, guys.
Can you believe that? That is diversity.
That is diversity.
Unpack that as you will and be thankful, but also look to the future with determination to build a better, inclusive, equal South Africa.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Theo, for those tough ground rules. Thank you so much. Let us get... off the mark.
Woo.
The EPL. Spurs 1, West Brom 1. Did Spurs bottle the title? Is it over?
Yes.
Is it like Hulk Hogan versus Macho Man in 1992 with the clothesline? Is it over?
Yes.
What do you guys think, man? What, Lee?
It's a done deal.
I saw the game on against West Brom and I'm thinking to myself, this is Spurs who have the impetus now. This is it. Monday night, you go play them at home. You make sure you beat them 4-0. This is you throw everything.
Yeah.
You take the kitchen sink out your pocket. You throw it
out your pocket,
and you do it. But I somehow West Brom. I don't even know. And it wasn't even they scored an own goal.
Yeah, they did. They scored an own goal.
Where to now? Is this Leicester City? Is this theirs?
Well, it's what, 7 points now?
They need a win at
Old Trafford.
Just 3 points, and it's over. And I mean,
that's
United is like Jekyll and Hyde. They could be like one team.
You don't know what team's going to show up.
We'll speak about them later, but West Brom, after a very insipid performance against Arsenal, you'd have thought that Spurs would have just steamrolled all over them, especially with the way that they'd been playing.
Yeah,
they had momentum on their side. They had form on their side. They have the league's best striker. Harry Kane doing the business. He hit the post in the first half, I think. And
you're saying he's the best striker in the league?
Oh, come on.
Harry Kane.
No,
he is, definitely.
Come on. Man.
Harry Kane is the best striker in the league. The numbers don't lie, eh?
Come on.
The numbers are there.
Come on, he's got a goal more than Aguero.
Yes. Come on. That makes him the best.
No, no.
Yes.
No, stop it.
Harry Kane is the
Bill
best.
Bill Gates has got 1 million rand more than the next person. Is he not the richest man in the world?
Yes.
He's the richest man in the world. It's over.
Do you guys look? West Brom are what, 13th? They have nothing to play for, and they played Johnny Evans at right back. They played Jonathan Evans, Northern Ireland international, probably one of the worst defenders in football history at right back. And I thought, this is a done deal. I saw that lineup, I was like, nah, this is it. Spurs,
4-0
to Spurs.
4-0. Yeah.
And somehow they put, I mean, it's Craig Gardner, I think, scored the goal. I don't know who it was.
Yeah.
How? Is this Pulis magic, or is it just Spurs bottling it?
Spurs bottling it.
I just thought the pressure got to them.
I think,
the fact that Leicester won during the weekend, it was time for them, you know, to actually try play catch up, and I think the pressure, knowing that they had to win,
I
think that got.
It's like a mental block, right? It's like that psychological. We have to get this 3 points no matter what, and then against a team that has essentially nothing to play for, and they just didn't do the business.
Let's leave that boring game out. It's over for Spurs, and then Dele Alli punched Yako.
Was it a punch?
It was a punch.
It was a punch.
But I mean, kudos to Jakob, who said it's nothing. He stays on the pitch. It's nothing.
I like players like that.
Okay, let's get on with it. Even who was bitten by someone, by Suarez again?
Costa.
The recent bite,
To the Everton, it was Gareth Barry, I think.
It's nothing. So, I mean, you have to give kudos to players like that who just want to get on with the game Anyway, Leicester City 4, Swansea City 0.
Jesus.
Even without the inimitable racist Jamie Vardy, Leicester City still managed to put a decent side to the sword. What would the documentary about their doping say? Because, I mean, guys, I'm still convinced there's got to be a story around Leicester City and doping at some point. And you don't come. You can't teach that. You don't come from relegation candidates. To win the title. No, come on, guys. Come on. Duncan, you can go.
What do you guys think about Leicester?
I can see you looking at
us.
We look at Leicester
every game, right? We've been saying this. I remember.
Since
I was in
December.
We've
been saying
since
this since December.
We've been saying, nah, you know what? This happens.
This happens every season. There's going to be a team that's going
to win. What did they say? An elephant in a tree. You don't know how it got there, but sooner or later, it's going to come fall down. But they haven't. And again, no Vardy. Ujoa plays up front.
Yeah.
They come in there, they do the business. I mean, 10 minutes in, Mahrez or Williams, I mean, with a terrible back pass or whatever it was. Mahrez comes in, he scores. And then it's 4-0 to the would-be champions. Bro.
Yeah.
How have they done it? I don't...
Doping.
It's doping and racism.
Doping and racism.
Yes.
Do you think they... But do they... Do you
and
think
orgies in Thailand.
But also they were playing as Swansea City. Come on, guys.
No, but Swansea are a decent team.
Okay, Swansea are a
decent
side.
They are one place above. They're two places above the relegation.
Yes.
Come on.
They had a bad run for like 10 games.
Yeah.
Biggest thing. I mean, the last three games, I think he had scored like three goals in the last three games.
Yeah.
And scored.
Yeah, but credit to Leicester. They played well. Yeah, I mean, considering the fact that Jamie Vardy wasn't there.
Yeah.
And Joe, like you're saying, stepped up. I think the whole unit... just plays like the chemistry between the team and as well as the coach is just magnificent. I think I started actually appreciating their work. I think it was the game against Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
They literally blew Chelsea out of the park.
After what? When Hazard got injured in the first 10 minutes or whatever.
Exactly, And I started appreciating the football that they play. So I think they're worth the salt. I don't think it was a fluke or anything like that. They've played. And
okay, but what has Claudio Ranieri done? These are essentially the same players that were struggling with Nigel Pearson before Ranieri came through. So what has Ranieri done in the last 12 months?
A change in thinking.
Okay.
He got in a bunch of players, right, who were average at most.
Yeah.
He comes in there and he puts them together and they line up and they work together like a unit, as you're saying.
Yeah.
They're not the greatest. They
I mean, Wes Morgan is a bang-on-average defender. He's a bang-on-average defender, and he's in the PFA. Laurent Koscielny is not in the team of the season. that is
mentality as well. Ranieri came in there. They said they have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
He keeps on saying that all we want is 40 points.
Yeah, we have nothing to lose.
We have nothing to lose. We're playing our football.
Pressure.
Go out and play how you want.
Yeah,
and they went and they blew everyone away.
Is Ranieri technically astute or just a motivational manager?
But he's been a bridesmaid in many leagues for many seasons.
Yeah,
I think this is finally his time and he deserves it.
He took over
it.
Italy. Yeah. I mean, they got beat by the Faroe Islands, I think 3-0. Faroe Islands is about... Not even FNB can't fit the whole population of Faroe Islands. He got beat there. They got... He was manager of Greece for a while. Monaco, he was always... He didn't win a trophy. And then he comes back to England. And everyone thought he's going to be the first name on the sacking board. Guess what he does?
But remember, Abramovic fired him in 2004 because he thought he couldn't win the league.
He couldn't win the... Oh, they got out the Champions League in the semi-finals or something. It was Monaco.
Yeah. And now they'll have to do a God of Honor
for
Leicester.
Imagine?
At Stamford Bridge.
Oh. But this is the greatest sporting story in history.
But actually, that's the beauty of it. They're going to have to do a God of Honor for him at Stamford Bridge. After giving him shade in 2004 when they fired him for Mourinho. This is, you know, this is God engineering. God engineering.
Watch God work.
Watch. Look at God. Sunderland 0, Arsenal 0.
Hey, Arsenal,
Sunderland put Arsenal
take
top.
Over.
Arsenal's top 4 trophy chances are gone.
Same old story with Arsenal.
Same old story. So, I mean... A dogged performance from Sunderland at the Stadium of Light as well. But there is no drive. I mean, we were speaking here last week about how Arsenal players seem to be playing as if there is always another game. There's another season. There's, you know, there's no urgency in the game. There's no desire or drive to win. Is this where we can definitively draw a line in the sand and say, you know what, Arsene Wenger, thanks for the memories, but it's time to shuck, bro.
Arsene Wenger's been washed for the last 8 seasons. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
He's been washed. Do you think that, you know, players all usually come to Arsenal and say, no, I want to come play for Arsene Wenger. Do you think Ozil Sanchez realized, oh, this guy's actually average?
Yeah.
There's nothing he can teach us that we don't know.
I totally agree with you. I think it's time he goes. I think every other season, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
He takes Arsenal just on the brinks of not qualifying for Champions League football. Then he manages to rescue them and he acts as a hero. And this has been happening for the past 12 years and nothing has happened. I think, like you said, it's time he just packs his bags and leaves.
But do you also think... I didn't watch this game. But I saw the Theo Walcott clip where he... I think he got the ball in midfield.
And he ran past the ball. What is that?
And guys are like, oi fam! This is under 40,000 quid a week, man. Mans is out here coming to watch Arsenal every weekend. Mans going there getting paid beer money, son. 140 quid a week. That's exactly 140,000 pounds a week for Arsenal. For Theo Walcott, he got a new contract. When was it? In 2012?
Last year.
For 140,000 pounds. And I think that
to be on par with Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez, that is ridiculous.
Is he earning that much?
Yes, he's on 130 actually, because Ozil is still the highest paid.
Because it's beyond bizarre.
It is beyond bizarre.
What happens now? And I've seen in the newspapers recently, Oxlade-Chamberlain supposedly he's a target for Man United.
For Man United, yeah.
And Mourinho says he wants him at United. Would you let him go? And would you keep Walcott?
I would let Walcott go and keep the Ox, who I think is a better footballer.
But
better footballing brain, but injury prone. But I mean, these are young players who've been subjected to 50, 60 games at a very early age.
How many games has he played this season?
Not a lot.
Chamberlain.
Chamberlain hasn't played a lot. He's played probably 20.
But at least with Chamberlain, he'll come in and change a game.
Yeah.
Walcott will not do that.
Definitely.
Oh my God, he does not give a fuck, bro.
He's a waste of space.
Where to now for Walcott, Arsenal fans?
Actually, funny enough, Arsene Wenger did say during the week that he did not know where Theo Walcott's future lies.
Oh, really?
So
he did say that.
I think there's also been a realization by the manager that he needs to cut his losses with Walcott. The only thing he's grown in the last 10 years is a beard. There's nothing that's happened in terms of his footballing ability. That guy is a waste of fucking space.
So what happens now? Do you sell him?
You sell him. He's on good wages.
For 140K, where does he go?
I don't know who's going to take him for those kind of wages.
Chelsea?
I don't know.
I don't think Conte would want him at Chelsea.
Theo Walcott can't play in a system where he's given instructions, which is why Fabio Capello dropped him for England. simple instructions.
Remember they tried playing him as a number 9 for a bit.
Yeah, well,
that's where he wanted to play.
That's where he wanted to play, but I mean, he's not that talented. Yeah, you know, factual. Let's move on. It's Theo Walcott. Come on. Bournemouth 1, Chelsea 4. Eden Hazard scores his first 2 goals of the Premier League.
Yay! Yay! A year ago, this guy was getting the PFA player of the year.
Yeah, he was getting the PFA player. Isn't that so poetic?
Hey?
1 year ago, you are the PFA player of the year, and now you are scoring your first 2 goals of the season. Basta, you're the Chelsea fan. Tell us what happened here.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start, man. I think after the last season with Mourinho, I think the guy just got a big head. And I don't know, he just lost it. I mean, he suffered a couple of injuries this season as well. That hasn't helped his cause. Yeah. But on the whole, I just think he lost it from last season, just dipped in form, just like many of the Chelsea players.
Yeah,
your Fabregas, your John Terry, your Ivanovic. I think it was a exceptional dip in form, I should say.
Exceptional dip in form.
I don't think it's ever been seen before.
Yeah.
But on the whole, though, the team is starting to, you know, they're starting to get back to
where they
are.
Fabregas finding some form. Yes, he had 2 assists in that game.
Do you see those assists?
Yeah, no. Oh, wild incredible. Assists. I think he's
incredible.
Now second behind Mesut Ozil.
He's like incredible.
Back to that Fabregas we saw at Arsenal.
From Arsenal, And early Chelsea career last year. He's a special talent, man. I hate that guy, but he is.
Would we take him back?
I would not. But I mean, he had his customary dip in form from February, from January.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I mean, it happens all the time. Let's move on to Liverpool 2, Newcastle 2. Are we witnessing the Benitez escape act? No,
I think Benitez will survive. I think
it's so tight down there.
It is.
Okay, phrasing.
Squeaky.
Squeaky
bum time.
Yeah.
No. Benitez. And they came back from 2-0 up.
Yeah.
2-0 up. And then all of a sudden, they came back. And he's not afraid to drop the big names, right?
Yeah,
Jonjo Shelvey's been dropped for like 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
He's played Colback, who scored. Mm-hmm. And Papi Cisse up front. Mm-hmm. And Mitrovic coming off the bench. But I don't know. Is this too late?
No.
Is it too late for Newcastle?
I don't think so. I actually think they're gonna survive.
You think so?
The fact that they were 2-0 down, the spirit of the show.
Yeah.
I think they were 2-0 down
against Liverpool,
20 minutes or something like that. Yeah.
At Liverpool,
At
Arsenal
Anfield,
crumbled when they were 2-0 down at Anfield a few years ago.
You're right. You think there's an escape act in the making?
Definitely.
But I mean, it's really tight down there. I think you have Sunderland on 31, Norwich on 31, Newcastle on 30. And then obviously Aston Villa on 16, which is ridiculous. But I mean, to get out of there, they'll need to win the last 3 games.
Mm.
If Newcastle are going
to
survive,
they need to
win those last 3 games.
So do the other teams, though.
I guess so. Then we move on to Aston Villa 2, Southampton 2, nothing to see there. Man City 4, Stoke City 0. City destroys Stoke in preparation for their titanic clash with Real Madrid, which was yesterday, which we'll get to later as well.
Kelechi Iheanacho. He 18 years old Nigerian.
Is he really 18 though?
38 year old.
We needed the resident Nigerian to tell us what this young man's really doing.
Kelechi
Iheanacho.
He's good though.
He's a talent. He's a.
Did you see his second goal? That's
when he went around the keeper.
Yeah.
That kid's good. He just needs to go to like an Everton or I don't know.
Why? But I mean,
why?
He won't develop at City. City doesn't develop young players.
But you realize he's chosen ahead of Bonny even.
Yeah, he's not ahead of Bonny.
So he's second in the pecking order.
Yeah.
But Pep is going to come in and just.
Which
bring
is my
in,
next question.
Bring in
well,
his,
we know he doesn't
his
is this
people,
City
so.
Side in the makeup of the Pep Guardiola side? Is this a City side that you can actually say, Pep Guardiola, take this team and do something with it?
Nah.
Are there enough ingredients here for Pep Guardiola to mount a challenge on Europe or even the Premier League title next season?
No, I don't think so.
There are a few. There are a few, but he will need to do some work as well.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. The likes of Bonny, the likes of Mangala need to leave.
Jesus Navas.
Hasn't scored in over a year.
That guy scored 1 goal in 2 seasons.
He's a winger.
And I don't understand what on earth he'd be doing at Man City. Pellegrini brought him in from Malaga and he's been completely terrible. Please tell us. Here's a Man City fan from 1998.
we've gotten a Man City fan who wants to say something in the studio here.
He remembers Sean Gota, Sanji High, the old school Man City. Remember Richard Dunn was there?
Richard Dunn. Yeah. What was that guy? The Greek guy?
What is his name?
Number 7. He used to play at Celtic. What's his name?
Samaras.
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 Georgios Samaras.
Georgios Samaras.
Look, first of all, football team, I stand here as a Man City fan, and I'm a new age Man City fan. I've been supporting my team for the past four seasons now. And obviously, we play great football, and we've made such great progression that we finally going to win the Champions League this season. And with Pep Guardiola coming in, we're all really excited and happy. But the wonderful, charming man, Pellegrini, he will be sorely missed.
Yes.
Because he's done a lot for the team. You know, now we know our game. And we can take on any team and embarrass them, really.
All right.
Wise words.
Thank you so much, Duncan. Such
Man
wise
City
words.
This is Man City's new revolution. They're taking over the world. Man.
Yeah, no, thank you so much, Duncan.
Have you got a City top, Duncan?
He probably does. Is it... Uzi made City top. Alright, we're just going to move swiftly to our theme of the week because we've got a very important guest who's going to join us via telephone. Masibanda on Twitter, MAS1Banda. She is probably one of the most amazing human beings you'll meet in your life. Smart, erudite, beautiful, gorgeous, everything that you would want in a woman. She's an acclaimed author. She's written for the Huffington Post and she's got a very serious job with the Institute for Security Studies, and we're going to have her on the phone just now to talk transformation in sport. If you were living under a rock, you probably wouldn't have noticed that in the last week, actually on Monday, Minister Mbalula came up with certain bans regarding transformation in South African sport. Certain federations or authorities governing certain sporting codes were sanctioned from hosting
the first act of leadership from Balula.
They were sanctioned from hosting any international tournaments until they met certain quotas is the wrong word, because you can't call, how is it nice to be called a quota in your own country? You know what I'm saying? They didn't meet certain, you know, certain transformation targets, and we're going to have Masibanda on the phone to give us more on that. There's been such an outcry on social media. Jacques Callis and a lot of other useless dickheads who have been saying a lot of unnecessary stuff. And we want to hear if she... Is she on the line, Duncan? Is she, okay. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Masibanda. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks.
Wow,
you?
The bedroom voice. Wow.
Yeah, everyone has got their bedroom voices here because you're the only lady in the studio, ostensibly.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Talk about transformation, huh?
Talk about... In our defense, we did try to have some female guests on the show. They were busy.
Of course.
Oh, and here comes another guest. You see, oh, thank goodness we've got another female guest on the show. Finally. So, we're talking transformation in South African sport, and obviously you've seen that there's been a big hoo-ha on the radios, on the internet, about what Minister Mbalula proposed on Monday. Just give us your thoughts and what you feel has been the backlash or whatever that has come from people on social media and South African public in general.
Right. I think we need to take a step back first. And obviously, Minister Mbalula made the announcement, but this is not something that he, you know, sucked out of his thumb. A lot of what has happened as a result of the backlash has been assuming that this was an autocratic decision to force transformation down people's throats.
Yeah.
It's not. It's a long time coming. It's something that was has been recommended for years by the Eminent Persons Group on Transformation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not new.
Okay.
The backlash has obviously been for me quite disproportionate, because what the sanction is that these four categories, these four sports categories, won't be able to bid for an international event.
Yes.
When's the next one? Is it a sanction, really, if you think about it?
And it's not like they were going to get it anyway, if you think about it.
Well, there's, you know, let's not make this awkward, but it's not like they're going to get this anyway.
Yeah. Okay, well, then you have people like Jacques Callis who come out and say that they're embarrassed to be South African because politicians are interfering in sport. Is this a good thing to say, especially in a week where we're celebrating, ostensibly celebrating South African freedom? Is there freedom? Is there transformation?
I want to ask Jacques Callis how embarrassed he was before 1994. I want to know whether what embarrasses him is the notion of having a representative team that reflects South African demographics and doesn't reflect his braai.
Yes.
That's what I want to know from Jacques Callis.
And you said something very, sorry to disturb you. You said something very interesting about quotas. A tweet that you put out talking about how you know, as a sports person, you feel being referred to as a quota in your own country where your people are the majority, that is low as well. I mean, we need to rethink maybe the language around what we're pushing in terms of transformation, surely.
No, for sure. Yeah. And one of the interesting things that I suppose a lot of people don't know is that the Minister of Sport was the one who suggested to the different sports federations to do away with the talk of quotas.
Yes.
To say what we need is people who are selected on merit but recognizing the demographics.
Yeah.
What did Cricket South Africa say? No, we can do 60%.
Yeah.
So the language of quotas is in many ways an outdated system that really entrenches this idea that we are these different numbers that are to be picked according to the numbers that we are. So
yeah,
according to
merit.
20 black people, therefore we pick 19 black people.
Yeah.
That's not at all what transformation is about. And for a person or someone who, until he said this remark, I thought was a sports person.
Okay.
Because a sports person is not someone who plays a sport alone.
Exactly.
A sports
it's a
person
team.
Is also someone who is sporting, who recognizes teamwork and the responsibility of other people in that sport. Jacques Callis is not a sports person.
Oh, yeah.
For a person like that to then suggest that any inclusion or any additional inclusion of black people is something to be embarrassed about. If I had money, I would be buying him a ticket on South African Airways.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jacques Callis, Atelier, as we were talking earlier, is probably sitting in his penthouse in Camps Bay, looking over the water and the waves, crashing on the sand.
Which I'm not doing.
Which you're not doing.
While he sits there and completely tries to undermine a process of redressing what, you know, has been happening for the last 100, 200 years, right?
Yeah.
And
perhaps to have the audacity to then say, it's not that I'm anti-transformation, I've put 40 or so boys through sporting academy.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, charity is not a trump card. Some of us can't afford
yes.
in school. So does that mean we don't care? No.
Exactly.
Charity is not something you dangle in front of people
to
defend your racism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And worst thing is, I think, to add on to your point, is that he was held up as this sort of everyone loves Jacques Callis,
yeah,
and he's
yeah.
going in these castle ads where he's hugging hugging young black children everywhere, you know. And
hug young black children.
You see what I mean, right?
I'm not racist.
And he's going, I hug black children. You know, they smell a bit, but you know, I can't say it. That's probably what he's saying in his mind. And now he has the audacity, I think, to add on to what you're saying, to try and say what this country is becoming is not what I want to be part of, which is speaks to a bigger social problem, which we have to deal with every day. And I think it speaks to black economic empowerment in the workplace as well.
Freedom
is there freedom? Is there freedom? Is there actual freedom on Freedom Day? That is the real question.
Look, that's quite a touchy topic and quite a touchy question to ask, but I think the one thing that we must recognize, you know, when we speak about freedom, is here I am in a middle income space in Pretoria, I'm going to say that multiple times, in Pretoria, as a young black woman on the phone talking to a bunch of black guys at a radio station. I won't go further. So the notion of freedom for me, it's there. Let's not lie to ourselves and say we're not in a space where we can do things that 22 years ago we wouldn't be able to do.
Yeah.
But we're not fully there yet. There's so much work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And maybe sort of one way air specials would be the starting point. But
one way
so much. There's also so much that needs to be done in terms of ensuring that views such as those shared by that person called Jacques Callis are not the predominant views, and they do not do away with the gains that have been made. But allow me, and I'll say this again, to be sitting in
Pretoria
talking to you guys on the phone about transformation and about issues affecting South Africans.
Yeah, not true. Do you have? We've got one more question for you, Masibanda. Just hold on.
Hi, Masibanda. I just have a comment, you know, to you. What do you think? Do you think the sanction that the minister has given is good and is progressive for the different organizations, or you feel that he could have done it in a different way? Because my take is that by banning these organizations from holding these major events, which are basically events that help the organizations to get money, which is then distributed to the grassroots and for black development in sport, don't you think the sanction could be different?
But surely something drastic needed to be done, right?
Yeah, I get his intention, but don't you think the sanction could be different?
Right, and I'm going to go back to my first point. It sounds like a bad sanction. It sounds like something more serious than it is. But if you would take a little bit of time out of your day to look at what were the forthcoming potential events that Cricket South Africa, that South African rugby, that netball and athletics were going to bid to host. Mm. This is not saying that they cannot participate in international events. It's saying that they cannot host international events. So if you look at that potential calendar, the reality is all that this has really done, the body that has been somehow sanctioned is South African rugby. The point of the sanction to me is quite more symbolic than it is actually tangible. Because of the fact that it's not saying that they cannot play anymore. It's not saying that they cannot continue to do what they do. And the minister's reasons for that was, in sanctioning these bodies, he also doesn't want for the sports people, the actual sports people, I'm not talking about the calluses, the sports people to still be able to do their trade. So it's very important that that be recognized. South Africa will still be represented at the Olympics. The Athletics South Africa will still be there, and Caster Semenya will still win awards.
All right, I think that's all from us. Thank you so much for coming onto the show, Masibanda. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. We love you.
Thank you.
If you guys want to follow her and listen and read her writing, you can follow her on Twitter at Masibanda. That's MASIBANDA. Goodbye.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.
Oh, that was intense.
That was intense.
I think we should send all these anti-transformation people to New Zealand. To some colony, some island across New Zealand where there's just them.
Yeah.
They just sit and they drink Castle Lager.
But we have Oranje.
Ah, yes. I forgot
why
about that.
So far?
Do we still have Oranje in South Africa?
Yeah.
That's another issue.
Actually. South Africa, so.
Ah, fair enough.
Look, right. Let's get back to the soccer stuff. Do you guys want to do that?
That was heavy.
Hi, Nicolette.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. And how are you?
Oh, that's salty voice. Hi, I'm great. I'm so the most.
That's my voice, though.
Oh yeah, we love it. We're not complaining. Yeah, we love it.
Freedom Day, please.
Freedom
Allow
Day.
Allow me my expression.
Yeah, no, please. All right, so let's move on to. Oh, we've got Sonia on the line. Sorry, guys. Sonia's like one of our biggest fans as well. Sonia, are you here?
Yeah.
Hi, Sonia. How are you?
Good, and you, Carmen Gresham?
Well, nice to hear from you, man. It's been a long time. Where you been?
Busy. Anyway, I want to talk about the whole transformation thing.
Yeah.
She's just cut you off anyway.
She's like, whatever.
Straight to the point.
Yeah.
We'll get to the point. Okay. For me, the most important people in the whole sport are the players and the people who participate.
Yeah.
Now, this whole Bekile Mbalula thing is going to affect the players who are playing because now they can't participate in like local tournaments. Not local tournaments, but like if they bid for a tournament, they get it. Now the players are going to be affected by this, not like the whole, not the unions, it's the players. So I feel like Bekile Mbalula didn't consider the players who are the most important people in that whole structure.
Okay, but
what do you think of that, Son?
What do I think?
Rugby Sevens.
Yes.
They just hosted the Cape Town one.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of like players, black
players,
white players.
Yes.
Yeah. So now, in future, if they're gonna like bid for that and they won't get it, and Cape Town, like people are gonna miss out. The fans and the players are the most important people, like in sports.
I don't think anyone is under any, you know, confusion about that, but I think what the minister is trying to address is the issue of the actual players involved. I think we need to have, as our previous caller, Masbanda, just said, you know, the teams must represent the demographics of the country. And by saying transformation, we're not saying, you know, let's just have black players for the sake of having black players.
I'm not going to rock up to Springbok trials. Let's just say
you know, but let's just
heard Malula said it's open for everyone. You know, it's going to be representative of people who are able to actually play.
But then what about now? Say for example, I'm a black player, and then I get chosen. Now, in my mind, am I getting chosen for what I'm, because I'm black or because of my talent? Because obviously there are a lot of talent players out there, but then I guess the whole thing is opportunity, I guess. So maybe it
yes,
would help.
That is, you've distilled the argument. We've got a response from you here in the studio.
Yeah, in that sense. But you know, I also want to talk about in soccer. Yeah. Like, say for example, like I'm a Man City fan.
Yes. As Duncan.
As Duncan.
Yeah.
And then, like, one day I just decide I don't want to support them anymore and I go to another team. Is that
like
frowned
Leicester.
Upon in football?
Is that frowned yes. upon?
Of course it's frowned upon.
Frowned upon.
I think you should be burnt at the stake.
Like, to be honest. If you're an Aston Villa fan.
Can you change?
How do you just decide?
Why would you change?
Why would you change? It's like changing religions. You were born in Christianity.
It's like changing religions.
You can't.
You can't.
Can you change your parents? No. You can't. You are born with them. You have to stick with them. It doesn't matter how good or bad they are. They're your parents.
Yeah, no, it's that
simple. You're an Aston Villa fan right now.
I'm not a Villa fan. I like Villa. I like Villa.
No.
I like Villa because of who they are and what the club was and what it's done in the Premiership. They've won the Champions League.
In the words of Fikile Mbalula, they are a bunch of losers.
Please don't ever.
If I was a Villa fan, I would for sure not support them anymore.
They're children that are listening to this, and I don't think we should be telling them to change their football team.
But I'm one of those people, so you can frown upon me.
No, you're frowned upon, Sonia. Thanks for the call, Sonia.
Anyway, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
That is one of our favorite listeners as well, Sonia. We should have her on the show sometime. You know, when she's not cutting us off.
Yes, open up the industry.
Yeah, open up the industry, man. We've got a fan here, a listener who loves the show. He's always complaining and tweeting us, why is so-and-so not there? Why is so-and-so not there? So we decided, you know what, he must just come onto the show and shut up.
Yes, we're transformed, Chief.
Your must father. Transform. Your father is a ghost. Anyway.
What?
Let's get back to the football. I think we only have time now for because we just want to like do a wrap up of Barca. It's like 86 points and 85 or whatever.
Who cares?
It's a tough league there. Really tough. No. Actually, so does this whole Leicester City thing give credence to the idea that the English Premiership is the best league in the world, though?
Yeah, it does.
Because I mean, here's a team that was doing nothing last season, and now they're about to win the championship.
So, but no, if you say that, where do we rank South African PSL?
Wow.
I'm just asking.
What?
And also, what's the issue? Because if, as you said,
top 10 leagues, that's the 8th
top
10. In terms of revenue,
top 10, yeah.
It's actually on ESPN in the US.
Quality.
Right?
What makes the English Premiership League so
the drama?
Lucid?
It's like a good package.
Drama! Drama!
I beg to differ. I don't think it's the best. Are we confusing being the best
technical
or being
quality and the most entertaining
being competitive? Because I mean, okay, how do we judge the best?
Very subjective.
Spanish teams are the ones that do well on continental showcases. Club competitions.
Yeah.
Your Europa and your Champions League.
Mm. Well, and Sevilla.
So I think we have to separate the competitive nature of the English Premiership as well as the
football technicality aspect.
Exactly. Mm.
But I totally agree with what you're saying. And it's two schools of thought. People either, A, they love Serie A, which is fucking boring for a lot of people who watch it and really shit. La Liga, really which shit. Is extremely uncompetitive, but the football is flair.
Yeah.
Tiki-taka, it's very fast. It's things that in the Premiership you don't see. Yeah. In the Premier League, the other side is anyone can win on their day.
Can you do it on a cold Tuesday night at Stoke?
Can you
you do it on a cold Tuesday at Stoke?
And that's, I think they've used that as the litmus test to test
you
whether
test. Can
football.
Messi do,
can
it,
you
on
do
on
it?
Can Messi do
can
it?
Can Messi
night?
Play as well away to Getafe or as he will play at Stoke?
At Stoke on a Tuesday night. In
that,
the snow.
Does that test a player more than playing in a league?
What we do know that Cristiano can do it.
We know that.
The greatest athlete of all time.
Oh, come on.
The greatest player alive.
We have to put that in context as well. As yes. So what would you want? It depends as a fan. Do you want more competitive league Or do you want to watch technically gifted league, but you know it's going to be an 8-0 win?
Yeah. So I think it differs with what you want, exactly like you're saying. So if you're looking for competitiveness, you're obviously going to go for the English product. Yeah. But if you're looking for the best, I would still feel La Liga is the best league, because by simply the fact that the Spanish teams perform
and
better
teams,
at,
yeah.
and at also continental level. Yeah.
La Liga exactly or Bundesliga? Right,
yeah. Because I know if Chelsea were in La Liga, they'd probably come sixth. If United were in La Liga, we'd be relegated. That's exactly how.
You know.
That's the truth. It's the truth. And the Leicester City were in La Liga, they'd probably be 8th or mid-table.
So Arsenal will still maintain its 4th place.
Yeah.
Arsenal still maintain 4th, yeah. If Arsenal were in La Liga, will probably still maintain 4th. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Let us move on to the news and the laundromat. So Stylian Petrov has come out and said he's coming out of retirement. He wants to play again, having previously been diagnosed with leukemia. Strange.
Is his leukemia gone now? Like completely?
Yeah, dude.
Does leukemia go away?
Because they have to do stem cells.
They have to, like,
right?
Do, yeah, like, and it's like quite, so he wants to come know. Back and help them win promotion back to the Premier League.
I saw the story and I was just like, I think it's great he came back from leukemia, because no one likes leukemia, obviously.
Yeah, well.
But it's like you come back and your team's been relegated. You're like, oh, shit. Oh, I worked so hard. I went through all this shit to come back.
Beat cancer. You couldn't beat Leicester.
He beat cancer.
Beat cancer. You couldn't beat Leicester.
You couldn't even beat fucking Southampton away.
Come on.
Come on, guys.
Come on, guys. I beat cancer. Come on. Give
but
me.
Yeah, fair kudos to him, cancer. Man.
Is Fabrice Muamba also coming back?
No, Fabrice Muamba can't come back. He's got a heart condition.
You'll
die again on the pitch. He died for like 2 minutes. He'll die again. Anyway, Amsterdam Transport Network have launched a new number 14 tram in honor of Johan Cruyff. Well done to them. Dele Alli gets punchy. Hey,
guys, he's 19. Give him a break. Oh, he's 20, sorry.
He's 20 now. He's no longer 19. Does he have children? He probably has kids. Like Raheem Sterling. Raheem Sterling has like 10,000 kids.
Wasn't Wayne Rooney doing the same thing at his age?
Yeah, essentially.
Rooney was sleeping with 75-year-old prostitutes.
At that age.
75-year-old?
So. Yeah. He liked them old.
Gilfs, bro.
He liked gilfs. Grannies.
Sleeping with gilfs, bro.
Yeah.
It's a stage he's going through his Rooney phase.
Theo, you can't teach that.
You can't teach that.
Yeah, you can't. Just
you're either born loving gilfs or you're
so
not.
Wait,
you're not.
Gilfs or midgets?
No, gilfs are grannies.
Yeah, like pig. A gilf or a midget?
Well. Do you watch Billions?
No.
You know that scene on here.
I think every football, we can't place too much pressure on these young kids' shoulders. Mm. Look at Balotelli. You put so much pressure on him and he ends up at Milan now, I don't even know, just shaving his hair.
Speaking
of
Italy,
actually, Mohawks.
Juve have won the 32nd Scudetto.
Scudetto.
Kudos to them. I mean,
fifth
in a row.
Scudetto. Was it
fifth in a row? Yeah. Fifth Scudetto in a row.
They'll get relegated again.
But what do people have to do to stop them now? I mean, it's ridiculous. They've got a good stadium.
They've got money coming in for days.
They own the stadium.
Inter actually not bad this season.
The money left.
They became shit when Benitez got there. Surprise. Yeah.
Surprise.
And they sold a lot of their players. But then they've now got Mr. B. The Thai billionaire who's come in and bought. So maybe next season we'll see Inter resurgence. And Roma as well.
Yeah.
With Spalletti.
But Chelsea have signed a Roma player. What's his name?
Nainggolan.
I can't say his name, but yeah.
Nainggolan. He's like the only Thai player, I think, in Europe.
He looks like a Nazi apologist, like with that mohawk of his. Like he.
A Nazi apologist.
I wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley.
Goodness.
Yeah. Anyway, Tom Hanks claims to have bet £100 on Leicester City winning the league this season. So obviously at the beginning, and the odds were like 5,000 to 1. So if he wins,
he's gonna rake some money.
God,
he's gonna come away with at least £400,000. That's if it's true. I don't know how true that is. And then Chelsea youth team striker Dominic Solanke, who has also been linked with Arsenal, has demanded a new 50k a week wage. These kids, man. I've never seen £50,000 in
is
my
he
life.
Worth it as a Chelsea fan?
He wants £50,000 a week.
Worth it?
I don't think it's worth it. I think Ruben Loftus-Cheek
is
worth 60,000 a week though with his new deal. Yeah,
yeah, he's the big thing as far as youth is concerned. Solanke. I haven't even seen him play for Chelsea.
He's playing for Vitesse Arnhem, and he's only had 17 cumulative minutes of first team action for Chelsea.
Yeah,
since
what Chelsea do with their youth, right?
They are overpaid youth. Yeah, Chelsea have,
and they take them across the world. You know, Charles Musonda, who's playing now at
is it Rio?
Right back corner, yeah, I think so, in the league. And he's supposedly tearing it up. And he's supposed to come back.
Tearing that pussy up?
Yeah, well, whatever.
The league up.
Yeah. All right. And he's supposed to come back to Chelsea. Right, but then he's supposedly said, no, I want to stay here, play 90 minutes a week. Because these young kids, they play there, they get paid a shitload of money, but they never progress. Yeah. Franco Di Santo, remember Franco Di Santo?
He was amazing. Yeah. Ended up at Blackburn and then went to Germany.
Yeah. He went to Germany for a bit. They had, who's the other guy? Frank Sinclair.
Yes. And then what's Villa now? Then Gal Kakuta.
Kakuta.
After that scandal, nothing.
He's now where?
Yeah, he's now where? I mean, and then let's move along. Nigerian FA power upheaval sees one of the protagonists appoint a dead referee to officiate a league match. Yeah. Wow. Where is Durek Jesus when you need him?
This is we needed Nigeria. Him to,
so apparently there's like a power struggle between like presidents competing for like being head of the Nigerian FA, and to stamp his authority, the one guy just decided to appoint a referee, and it turns out the guy that he appointed was dead. But that's Nigeria for you.
Before?
No. Like for a long time, he's been dead for a while. Yeah, like he's been dead.
Nigeria.
Yeah.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Gift that keeps on giving. And then if you were watching the Man City match last night,
an insipid performance.
An injured CR7 was caught watching a video of himself while sitting on the bench. What a wolf. The greatest athlete of all time. the game is boring. What am I going to watch? Myself. That's not bad. That's not too bad. So for that, Cristiano, you're a wolf. Oh, we love you, Papa. And then 5,000 Leicester City supporters have signed a petition for a fellow fox to name his baby daughter Vardy. why would you do that?
Is Jamie Vardy the biggest thing in England right now? He is a marketing. He's Sky Sports dream.
Racists prosper.
he is a racist.
Yeah, so. Racists prosper. It's not that.
Did difficult. He apologize?
Did he apologize for that racist?
I think he did.
Situation. No, I don't think he did. And then Birdman put respect on my name. Do you see that?
Oh, that was classic, huh?
Yeah.
Absolutely classic.
Respect on my name. Y'all done or you're finished?
Why?
Y'all done or you're finished? Do you know when someone asks you two questions as a sentence, you must know that this guy's a gangster.
And I don't get, are you done or are you finished?
Y'all done or y'all finished?
It's the same. You just said the same thing twice in a sentence.
Y'all done or y'all finished?
It sounded gangster though.
He's a
surprised he didn't clap his hands as well. You know that.
On my life.
Yeah.
On my time.
You know, someone's about to get shot.
All right. And then Lil Kim is now white. I hope you guys. And did you see,
is that picture real?
Did you see? Is that did real? You see the black think pieces that were blaming black men for making her white?
Mm. What?
Yes.
How?
Apparently we idolize.
That she's ugly.
Because she's not white.
Yes.
Oh, come on, guys.
She's ugly.
Come on.
You guys idolize yellow bones.
No,
she's not yellow now. She's just like
she's just
she's
white.
Yellow, fucking she's pale.
It's like she put jick all over her.
She put jick all over her face.
She can do it, guys. It's okay.
But why is she so plastic? What happened? Is she just not
she didn't feel pretty enough.
What?
I don't know what to say about that. Let us move on. Riyad Mahrez is obviously crowned player of the season, and Dele Alli player, young
first
player.
First African, huh?
Yes.
Was.
Yes.
If they African. Consider themselves yes. African, you know those North Africans.
Well, they don't, yes.
Arabs don't think they're in Africa. And then a Trabzonspor fan invaded the pitch and attacked a referee. Wow. That's real passion.
This is what I love.
That's
about
why
Turkey.
Turkey is real football.
Last season, someone shot at the team bus with a shotgun through the window. That's how angry these guys are, bro. It's brilliant. I wish someone would go and punch Van Gaal in the face.
Yeah.
Jump over the boards, go to him, talk shit, punch him in the throat, and then go back and watch the game. That's how much we despise Van Gaal.
And just casually go back and watch
and
the game.
And just go back, and then he'll be applauded as a hero. Not all heroes wear capes, guys.
Not all heroes wear capes. I think that's all we have for today, man. We want to thank our guests for coming through, Lycan,
yes,
Basarashe.
Yes.
Just give a quick plug to your blog so that people can read your stupid thoughts.
Oh.
Yeah,
for anyone interested, go to basarashec.vix.com. I mean, I speak on a whole lot of issues, not only in soccer, cricket, rugby, name it. It's all there.
Netball.
Not yet there, but getting there.
And Nicolette, thank you for driving all the way from Witbank to be with us.
What to come and say hello.
Yes, to come and say hello.
Thank you.
Mm. Should have heard your intro, Thunder Thighs.
Thunder
Thighs. Bunch of winner.
Bunch of
winner. You made Mbalula transform the country. The country.
And all Mr. Right, guys. Lee Can, man. Thanks so much for joining us, Mr. Can.
Mr. Lee Can.
Why do you keep saying Lee Can?
It's live. Sorry. Why? I don't know. You know what? Every time I read it on Twitter,
okay.
It's Lee. I don't know why. But it's Lee Can.
Anyway, guys, this has been The Football Show. And remember, be kind to strippers. All boobs matter. And may the swag be with you.
Cliff Central. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.